You got to get over this thing of making mistakes, and I'm nervous, and I might say the wrong thing or might do the wrong thing. You probably will say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. It won't come out the way you want it to come out. Happens to me every time I get up. And, you know, it's just the way it is. We do our best. We do our best for Jesus. I wish I had a nickel, maybe a dime, for every mistake I could recall, not just personally. I would be a wealthy man just with that, but thinking about all the mistakes and all the blunders that people have made in meetings that I've been in and things that they've said or things that they've done, I'm not gonna recall them all, because we sing in one of our songs, every Christian makes, you know the song? This is the verse. It's in your white book. Every Christian makes blunders and mistakes, but why call them all to mind? Why? Because it's funny. Because it's nice to call them all to mind. And again, I have a list. I can run through them a mile long. And maybe this is an encouragement to somebody here. But here I was in Taiwan. I don't know how to speak Chinese. I was trying to learn it again this afternoon. I ran over. I heard Chinese being spoken. You can hear that at camp. Did you know that? You can hear it around tables or somewhere. I ran over to where I heard it being spoken to listen for a little bit to see if I could learn something. I've been trying this for 30 years, 40 years. I can't learn a thing. I can't say hardly a word in Chinese. It makes no sense to me, but I was listening, trying, and it didn't work. And when I was in Taiwan, I didn't know what anybody was talking about. Fortunately, many, many people speak English. And so they would be kind enough to communicate with me in English. But I thought at the end of the meetings, and I'd gotten to know the people pretty well, and we had nice times together, and I thought that I could at least say goodbye in Chinese. I mean, and so my interpreter was standing next to me, and he was, of course, proficient in English, and I said to him, "So before I leave, I want to say to you all," and then he said that in Chinese, however that goes in Chinese, and then I let him have it. My punchline. I want to say goodbye, but I didn't say goodbye because that would have been English. I was going to say in Chinese, so I said, and I don't even know how to say it now, but I said, "Xixie." And my translator burst out laughing uncontrollably. He wasn't just feigning it. He just couldn't stop laughing. And I felt lost. And people out there all over the place were hysterical. And I didn't know what I did. I said goodbye. I just said goodbye. What's so funny about that? Maybe they're just so happy to let me go. And he was thrilled to see me go. But I afterwards, or after he could stop for a second, I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "Well, the way I said it was that I needed the bathroom." Now, I still don't know the difference between shishi and sheshe, or sheshe and shishe, but I shishayed when I should have shishayed. And I guess I made a mistake. That wasn't going to stop me from going back again and trying my Chinese someplace else. Every Christian makes blunders and mistakes. So my uncle, when he married, two people pronounced them man and woman. They had already been that. Nowadays, it might have been a good thing that he pronounced them man and woman. But back then, that was normal. And yet, he kept on going, and he married other people after he married them. And on and on and on and on. You know, at least you tried. At least you put yourself at God's disposal. And he can take blunders and mistakes. And he can turn them around. And he can redound that to his honor and glory. I don't know how he can do it, but he does. And I've seen it. You read it in the Bible, the poor guy in Elisha's story. Remember the poor guy that wanted to cook for camp? and he thought he had a good idea, and he found the reason why I went over to the group that was speaking in Chinese was because whatever they were saying, I don't know what they were saying, but something was over there, and I thought, what is it, a snake? Is it a bunny rabbit? What are they looking at? What's going on there? It was a mushroom. There's a mushroom growing, and they were threatening to get it, kill it, and eat it, and bring it home or put it in the pot. Well, that's what they would have done in Elisha's day. They would have put it in the pot. And Elisha's, his guys found it too, and he threw it in the pot. And that was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. He didn't mean to kill everybody, but he tried. He almost did. And all of a sudden, somebody, I don't know if they were getting sick to the stomach or what was going on, they were falling over, but whatever. There's death in that pot. And Elisha said, don't worry about that. Come here. He threw something else in there and that cleared up that. And a miracle transformed the death in the pot. And you never would have had the miracle performed if you didn't have the guy that threw the death in the pot. You got to start someplace. And sometimes God starts with the foolish things and the not perfect things. And if you're looking for a perfectly... what's the right word? Exegesis? You're not going to find it here. I don't know what exegesis is. I don't know. 3 points, somebody said the other day. I don't know who that was either. Oh, Brother Tim Radulico. 3 points in a poem's a good sermon, right? And he looked at me and he, why are you looking at me? I don't know. My sermons are not 3 points in a poem. My sermons are usually pointless. But you try to say something that God would have you to say. And so don't hold back. Don't be timid. And if you make a mistake, that doesn't stop you from next time. Now, we don't get up to try to make mistakes. We don't get up to try to. But every Christian makes them. But thank God we can offer ourselves to Him, to God. And unless you offer yourself, He doesn't have anything to take, to work with. But I thought of a verse, and if you have a Bible and you open it with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's verse 20. A familiar verse, I could quote it, but let me read it to you. You are not your own, then verse 20. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And that word, that last word, is what struck me when I thought of it. We hear a lot about, and we talk a lot about, I gave my heart to Jesus at Pilgrim Camp in 19-whatever. I gave my heart to Jesus. Now, that's good. You need to give your heart to Jesus. But I hope you gave more to Jesus than your heart. I hope you gave Him your body. I hope you gave Him your all. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, He purchased us. That's what Paul is referring to here. You don't belong to yourself anymore. When we've given ourselves and when we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we give Him our all. We give Him our mouth. Our mouth. And sometimes He wants to use your mouth to speak, to give a testimony, to give an admonition, to sing a song. Maybe you start songs in the cracks. There are some people that have a propensity for doing that. They start a song and it's tough for everybody to catch up and to try to straighten it all out. We have them in our church too. Sister Marion's not the only one. So Susan, stop looking darts at your mother, because there are others. There are others also. Now, I'm not suggesting that just because you can't sing, you should try to. But maybe God wants you to because He can't find somebody else who can. And you're sitting there criticizing, well, she shouldn't do that. She doesn't know how to sing. I know how to sing, but she doesn't know how to sing. So maybe you should be the one. Maybe God wanted to try to use you, but maybe you're not around. So what's he going to do? What would you do? You pick up what's available to use. And God picked up some pretty rotten stuff to use. It sounds to me that Moses stuttered. Well, what are you using a guy like that as a mouthpiece? That doesn't sound like a very good mouthpiece to me. There are other preachers that stuttered. What? I think I mentioned it up here, even D.L. Moody stuttered. And yet somehow God straightened him all out and used him. He spit when he spoke. I'm not that far yet, but I'm trying. Watch out, you guys in the first row. If I get you just wiping, keep on going. But he would, they said, if he said the word Mephibosheth, he pronounced that name, forget about it. You'd all be all wet. Well, that was D.L. Moody, but maybe there were other with forked tongues that could have spoken eloquently, but they weren't around for God to pick up and use. So maybe God had to pick somebody up who makes blunders and mistakes. He maybe had to choose the foolish to confound the wise because somebody wasn't willing to give their body. They gave their heart to Jesus. But you aren't going to get me to sing a song, a solo, a song, start a chorus, speak, admonish, give a testimony. Yes. When you come together, the Apostle Paul says, every one of you, not everyone in the same meeting, that would be a little tough. But when you come together, every one of you function together as a body. It's not just all this man or that guy or the one that's in charge of the meeting or those three. Oh, we're expecting. We're going to have a prayer meeting now. We're expecting. Of course, he's going to pray. He always prays. I wish he wouldn't pray so long. Well, maybe he's filling in your spot. Maybe if you prayed, he wouldn't have so much time to pray. Maybe the Lord wants you to offer with thanksgiving a request to God. And you can all, we can all do that, can't we? The answer to the question is no, we can't. At least that's what I'm sensing. The reason why we can is why I say we can't, because we don't. When we come together, a couple people maybe have something to say. A couple people maybe would admonish us. Maybe another person might do something else outlandish that we can all go home and make fun of. But we're not going to be the butt end of anybody's joke. But here I am, Lord. Use me. Take me as I am and make me what you want me to be. I'm trying. I'm trying. But you're a little slow. And when I purchased you, I didn't just purchase your heart. I purchased your body. Now, some of you have used your hands an awful lot today in serving the King. You used an awful lot of strength, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love the Lord your God that way. And some of you exemplify that and have exemplified it today. What did I do? You worked like a, I was going to say a dog, maybe not quite like a dog. You worked hard, that's good to say, in the kitchen. Ian, I don't know, were you there this morning? You didn't get to meeting? Did you get a blessing anyway? Stirring the food, cooking the food, putting it into the oven. He worked hard today. And we're thankful for those who contribute and worked hard and giving themselves, their bodies, not just my heart. I gave my heart to Jesus. I don't want to gainsay that or disparage that, but there's more than my heart. Lord, I give you my all. I give you every part of me, from the top to the bottom, my brain. And some of you, if I only had a brain, some of you have one, and some of you have a good one. Use it for whatever purposes you can use it, but use it for the glory of God. Some of you have a good brain that can figure out things that nobody else could figure out. Maybe you have a brain that somehow is able to do things mechanically, or maybe computer-wise, or maybe whatever else it might be. Use the ability that God gave you because God gave you a brain. And I know everybody here has a brain, but I mean the capability to use their brain in certain ways. God's given that. Some can cook, some can't. Some can do artistic work, some can't. Some can fix things, some can't. Every one of us can yield our members and our mouths and admonish, exhort. We had a lady in the church when I was a lot younger. Again, the Alvarez, they were there, Izzy and Carol, in those early years. But there was a woman whose name was Sister Parpin. Remember Sister Parpin? She wouldn't give a testimony either. She couldn't do that. But she would read a psalm. She would get up. That's all she would. I can probably think of many, many times, 50 times that she stood to. And she'd get up and she'd say, I'm going to read a psalm. And so she'd read the psalm. It was a blessing. She was reading the word of God. Now, I could have read the psalm, or somebody else who's always heard could have read the psalm. But it was nice to hear Sister Parpin get up and call our attention to the word of God and simply read a psalm. And if nobody else got a blessing from reading the psalm, she did, because she'd sit down, and we as children or kids, teenagers, used to watch her then, because after sitting down within 30 seconds, she'd go, she'd start shaking, she'd get a blessing from reading the psalm. And it was nice to see. I'm glad she got a blessing. But others did too. You were bought. He purchased you. And it says here, He said in that verse, I purchased your body. Everybody, we all know Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is, that's just your reasonable service. Or the NIV says your spiritual act of worship. I give my body as a living sacrifice. He bought my body. I do it in response. I don't do it because I'm earning something, but I do it in response. It's the mercy of God. By the mercies of God. Recognizing for mercy so great, what return can I make? I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have. As long as my life shall endure. And so Paul to the Romans, he says, I give my body, I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's my reasonable service. I think there are three times in Romans, maybe it's Philippians and somewhere else, where Paul begins the letter by calling himself a servant, a love slave of Jesus Christ. Paul was bought, and he knew it. Paul recognized that he was not his own. He, it seems to me, must have been an intellectual giant in his day. But when he gave himself or was bought by Jesus, every brain cell in his cranium functioned for the kingdom of God. Every word that he spoke, wherever it was that God took him, it was all for the glory of God. He just gave himself, body, soul, and spirit. It was all on the altar of sacrifice. And he calls himself, Paul, a bondservant. A doulos, I think is the Greek word. A love slave. I'm not doing this because I have to do it, or because somebody made me do it, or because I'm getting a ticket for doing it. I don't mean a speeding ticket. I mean a boathouse ticket. But I'm doing it not to get something. I'm doing it because it's a response. It's my reasonable service. I want to be used by him. I want to give my all to him. I want him to take my feet and my hands and my heart and my head and every part of me. I offer my body that he purchased. You know, it was harped on, especially by the Apostle Paul in his letters, to some churches more than others, because in some of the epistles that he writes, he was writing to counteract or contradict the Gnostic thought. And the Gnostics would teach or think that your body is innately evil. Your body is, has nothing good anyway in it. Only your spirit can be saved. And so really, there's no hope for your body. So your body, you might want to live like an immoral animal. And that's okay to do, as long as your spirit and your soul are saved. And the Apostle Paul makes sure that they understand that that's not true. Jesus didn't die to save me from my sin and somehow convert me spiritually, but he also wants my body to belong to him. him. He purchased my body. He wants to save me body, soul, and spirit. And so I entirely, completely, body, soul, and spirit belong to him. And I want to be preserved blameless, body, soul, and spirit unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in, turn with me to, it's in Exodus 21. And I think it'll make sense to us all. We're not too good maybe in understanding about Hebrew slaves and what it all meant to be a Hebrew slave. But there are some instructions given in this chapter that I believe are applicable for us. I'm not a Hebrew slave, nor is anyone here. But I think there are lessons that we can learn from this teaching, from this chapter. And in the second verse, let me start at the beginning. These are the laws that you are to set before them, that is God's people. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. He doesn't have to pay for his way out of servitude. In the seventh year, he's privileged to leave, to go free. If he came in alone, then he goes out alone. If he has a wife when he comes, then she goes out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons and daughters, the women and the children, they belong to the master, and only the man is able to go free. Okay, so forgetting all those little details, here I am on a Hebrew slave, and I've been serving my master. I've been serving my master dutifully and faithfully for 6 years. And now the seventh year was called the year of Jubilee. There were more things to be done in the year of Jubilee than just this. This is just having to do with the slaves, the Hebrew slaves. And the seventh year was the year of Jubilee and the year that they could go free. And it was a wonderful celebration. It was a wonderful year. So now I don't have to serve anymore. I don't have to be a slave anymore. I can go out and do whatever I want to do, wherever I want to do it. I can move to wherever I want to move. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm free. I have nobody telling me anything. My body belongs to me. It used to belong to my master. And if my master said, go get me milk, I got to go get milk for the guy. If he wants me to go fetch some water from the creek, I got to go get water from the creek. If he tells me sit in the corner for an hour, I sit in the corner for an hour because I belong to my master. And I don't have my rights. I don't have my own will to do what I want to do unless he gives me that privilege and freedom. But I belong to him. I belong to him. But now all of a sudden comes the year of Jubilee. Praise the Lord, I'm out of here. I don't have to be a slave any longer. I don't have to serve anybody any longer. I can now serve whoever I want to. I can serve myself. You know, Abe Lincoln, former president, remember what number of president was he? 16th president of the United States. He saw a woman being sold as a slave one time, a young woman. And he had pity on her because he realized if she's going to be sold into slavery, she's going to be sold to being abused and taken advantage of, and he didn't want that to happen to her, and just moved with compassion when he saw her on the block. He dug into his pockets and he paid the price, whatever it was, and he bought her. And then he said to her, you can now go. She said, what? He said, you could go wherever you want to go. You're free. I bought you. Go where you want to go. She said, I can go wherever I want to go. And he said, yes. She said, I want to go with you. Well, that's what these Hebrew slaves had the opportunity to say too. If that Hebrew slave, the next verse, if he declares, I love my master, my wife, my children, I don't want to go free. It's my choice. It's my choice. I don't have to stay here. But I love my master. I love serving him. Sister Rachel said that before. Why do we come to camp? Why do we come to Pilgrim Camp? Because there's joy in serving Jesus. If there's that much joy in serving Jesus, could I enlist anybody to come to camp fourth period?
I'll come.
Brother Isaac. He's the coordinator, fourth period. And if anybody wants to join Brother Isaac and find the joy there is in serving Jesus, all fourth period, if third period is so great, stick around. But maybe you're going to want to go free. But maybe somebody, and I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody to stay by saying this, but maybe some of you would say, I love my master. Maybe he wants you to serve him in Vacation Bible School in your church. So if you're from Ozone Park, go home. And maybe you've got somewhere else that you need to be to serve the Lord, and it's not only at Pilgrim Camp. But I'm seriously saying that if you know of anybody that has time and opportunity, especially waitresses, well, you let Brother Isaac know. He probably has already talked to you. But if he hasn't, or if you're sitting here as an adult and you know, my niece would really love to come up here, or my nephew, waiters are qualified also, you can let Brother Isaac know and he'd still talk to you, and maybe other positions on staff also, I don't know. But these ones that were serving here, they said, I love my master. Now, I don't know who their masters were, but I know who mine is. And they said, I don't want to leave my master's house. Yes. I can. I know I rightfully can. I legally can. I don't have to stay here. But I want to give my all to my master. You know, Jesus in Luke 14 was speaking to disciples or potential disciples. And they had heard his voice and they had heard his call. And he said to them, okay, now before you follow me, I want you to consider something. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you something to be my disciple. And if you don't want to pay the price, if you're really not into following me, not just with your heart to get the bread that I can manufacture, not just to see a miracle, not just to be blessed once in a while on a weekend, but if you really want to sign up to be my disciple, to be my servant, to be my doulos, my bondservant, my love slave, you got to think about a few things. Like what it's going to cost. If you're not willing to leave your mother and your father and your sister, your brother, your houses and your lands and your own life also, then you really are not worthy to be my disciple. It was kind of an austere call, which we don't like to talk about because then we lose everybody. We lose too many people. Following Jesus, there better be something, a benefit in it for me. A cost? You're kidding me. There better be a blessing in it. Lord, there is a blessing, but sometimes you go into whatever it is that Jesus calls you to do, not for the blessing, but because you're a slave. Because I love my master. I love my master's house. You'll find at the end of it, if you do it all for Jesus with an obedient spirit and an obedient heart, there'll be a blessing in it for you. It might not look like it on the outside, but you might get stuck in the kitchen with Ian and there'll still be a blessing even in the kitchen. Because that's where God wanted him to be serving this morning. And it would have been wrong for him to be in the meeting and down in the village because God wanted him to be serving him where he was. Thank God he did. I enjoyed the turkey. Where does God want you to serve him? And what does God want you to do for him? Have I gotten to the place where I said, whatever it costs, Lord? Sister Robinson taught people back in her day, and I guess through Sister Robinson, it's become a little placard, and maybe you have it in the flyleaf of your Bible, or maybe you've memorized it by now, where she taught people to pray, Lord, take me as I am. Yes, blunders and mistakes. Take me as I am. I'm available. If you can do anything, here I am. Take me as I am and make me what you want me to be. Body and soul and spirit, no matter what it cost. No matter what it cost. Lord, I'm yours. I love my master. I love my master's house. I don't want to leave this place. I want to stay here. But it wasn't sign up for another 6 years or another term or another year. This was now, if you want to pass over the opportunity to opt out, and you want to stay with your master and in his house, you're then going to have to pledge to stay with him forever. Ooh. Forever's a long time. That might be like 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. But you'll be singing at the end of 90 years, sweeter as the years go by. Richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I'm wholly lost in thee. You're not going to lose anything if you sign up for the rest of your life to serving Jesus. There's no loss. There's no loss. There's joy. There's gain. So Jesus challenged his disciples. And these people back in the Hebrew slave era had to make some decisions and choices. Well, if the slave said, I don't want to leave, I don't want to go out, I want to stay here, I love where I am and I love my master's house, I think the next instruction was, now you take them to the judge and they bring them out to the door. The doorpost of the house. And they did a strange thing that I'm glad the Lord doesn't do anymore with us. But they took him by the doorpost of the house and they took the guy's ear or her ear and they nailed him to the door of the house. I guess that symbolically showed he belongs here and he's not getting away. If you're nailed to the door, you're probably stuck for a good long time until they pull the whatever spike is. Talk about pierced ears. That was before time. So, you know, anyway, that's another story. But they took the ear and they pierced the ear and they nailed it through with an awl. Now, that probably hurt a little bit. I don't know. I never had an opportunity to have my ears or my nose or my belly button or anything pierced. So I don't know what that's all about. But they started it back in there, and here they've got the guy, and he's there, pierced ear, nailed to the door. Because I guess it's trying to say, if the master has your ear, the master has you. Because that's what the master wants, is your ear. Remember we mentioned something about that when we talked about Amos a couple days ago? The word of the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said, but there's nobody listening. But the Lord said, but the Lord said, but the Lord said, but nobody's listening because he had nobody's ear that was pierced and that was nailed to the door. He had nobody who would call him master. They called him Lord, Lord, but they wouldn't do the things that he said, Jesus said in his day. Why are you calling me that? Why are you calling me master? When you're not ready to do anything that I tell you to do, I don't have your ear. Oh, but I gave him my heart. But he doesn't have your ear. You haven't yet been led to the door. And it hasn't been pierced and nailed to the door. Maybe you don't love your master as much as you sing you do or think you do. Because if you love him, you'll serve him with all that you have. For as long as your life shall endure, and you wouldn't count that a chore, or I have to do this now. No, you count the cost, and you say, I can't lose. I can't lose in this venture. I can't lose in giving my all to loving and serving Jesus. And so they took that slave, and they took that servant, and they pierced his ear, and they nailed him to the door. And he was part of that master's household, it says, forever. I believe probably we've all, or maybe most all of us, have made that vow. You've probably all been to the door. If you haven't, go down to the garage. Brother Tom will initiate you, and we can start nailing a bunch of people right there and start a new cult or whatever we want to do. And no, you understand. You've all been challenged before, maybe many times at Pilgrim Camp. I almost think that, maybe I'm wrong, but every youth retreat, I think the young people are challenged to commit their lives, to give their lives, to lay it all on the altar, not hold anything back. You know, we need to do this more than just once. There's an he was young at one time, but now he's dead. But a missionary named Fred Schlander. Anybody remember Fred Schlander? You got to be old, or you got to be mature to remember Brother Fred. And he was a missionary to India, and I don't even know if I heard him say this. I think he passed away many years ago, probably maybe even before my time, or before I really got to know him at all well. But he said, every child that commits their lives to Jesus Christ, that gives their heart to Jesus in the cottage, in the village, everyone who gives their, they need to recommit their lives when they're teenagers. And then every once in a while, periodically, recommit yourself. There's a songwriter, his name is Doddridge, I think, his last name. And he writes a song, it's entitled Happy Day. The original name of the song was a strange song, something about the covenant to rejoice in. Or it was a big name, the covenant of grace to rejoice in. I'm glad somebody had the sense to boil it down to Happy Day. But the whole song is about a transaction, about the great transaction's done, and I am my Lord's, and he is mine. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess his voice divine. And in that last verse, he says, that vow, that contract that I entered in when I was nailed to the door, he says, that vow renewed shall daily hear. Now, I don't know if daily is needful or necessary. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not weekly or yearly or youth retreat to youth retreat. And some of you soon are going to max out a youth retreat. So it'll be from season to season. Maybe it's daily. Maybe it's not daily because he needs to be reminded, but maybe it's daily because I need to be reminded. What did the Apostle Paul say? I die yearly, daily. What are you dying? What is he dying to? My own rights? My own will? My own ambition? My own plans? My own thoughts? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to myself. And I got to remind myself. And maybe you have to remind yourself. And maybe it's good to do it every day. Every day, Lord, I recognize today it's not what I want to be nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. What wilt thou have me to do? And every day we die. We die to what we want, what we desire. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to live a cramped style life and you're not going to have any fun anymore and it's all going to be, I'm going to go to church every day, all day, pilgrim camp every day, all day, every... Oh no! It's joy! There's joy in serving. It may not look like that, and the enemy might try to paint the picture of this is over the top, this is for Madame Guyon and a couple others, but not for me. Oh no, the way to real joy is to give yourself as completely as you can on the altar of sacrifice and yield your body, soul, and spirit for the Master to possess. Let him pierce your ear. Give him your all. Let him have your ears so he can speak to you. And my sheep know my voice, and they follow my call. Oh, Lord, thank you. That vow tonight, this week at camp, however often it might be, you're going to hear it again, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I give myself to you. Take me as I am. And, Lord, if I make a mistake, if I make a blunder, if I make a boo-boo, if it doesn't come out right, Lord, you understand. I'm yours. I'm trying. I want to give my all to you. I want to live for you. Have your way with me. Lord, if you can do anything with this, if you can do anything with me, I'm available. And so I would encourage every one of us, every one of you, not just young, but old, that vow renewed shall daily hear. Lord, I'm going to give nothing less than my all. I love my Master's house. I love you, Jesus. And I don't want to go out free. I want to serve you forever, all the days of my life. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us. Many here, maybe all of us here, have given ourselves to you. We've heard your call. It told your love to us. And yet, Lord, maybe we've pulled something back. Maybe you have the spiritual part of our heart, but not the emotional part of our heart. Lord Jesus, take my whole heart. Maybe you have us partially, but not this part. This is where I draw the line. Lord, there's no line. I'm yours completely, entirely. And I pray, Lord, tonight, that if we're not there, that we would decide to go to the door. That we would allow you to pierce our ear. And Lord, that we would unequivocally say, we love you, Jesus. And we want to serve you forever. Yes. Wherever, however, whatever you desire, we want to serve you all the days of our life. And then dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So help us, Lord. Help us to love and to serve you with all that we have. We give it to you tonight, Lord. Take us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.